Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We are happy right now to head to the phone lines to be joined by friend of the show, James Palmer. He does fantastic work with Bleacher Report, also the Scoop City podcast. James, happy to have you pop on, man.
Man, this is a big one. I knew you'd be calling. Let's go. This is a big week.
Absolutely. So, James, let's start with this. What went wrong on Thursday Night Football against the Raiders? I understand that it is a divisional game, but that went worse than I think a lot of people expected, a 10-7 snooze fest. What went wrong on Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, nothing really went wrong defensively. I mean, the team has played very well in Denver defensively, for sure. Offensively, it really has been, you know, an interesting go of it over the last several weeks. And listen, they're well aware of it. Offensively, they've had an issue with, as I talk to defensive coordinators that have gone against this team, it's, you know, the play calling is a little bit predictable from Sean Payton. If they can't get the run game going, there's certain aspects of this offense that teams just don't worry about. And Bo Nix has had some inaccuracy issues. Now, with the predictable play calling, I think that's a little bit more indicative of what's happening as an offense and what's happening at the quarterback spot that's kind of making Sean be a little bit predictable, because those same coaches are telling me he is scheming guys open. There are guys that he is scheming open with this group. But the first three quarters have been a bit of an anomaly. We've seen a lot of inconsistent play, maybe playing a little too fast in terms of Bo Nix. They've seen them, you know, get away from the run early in games and then run it better in the second half. And it's almost like right now they're waiting, like, don't worry, in the fourth quarter we'll find a way. That's not sustainable by any stretch against a Kansas City team that's not sustainable. But really, I know it's a divisional game that was against the Raiders. I know up front they played pretty well. They did some things that Denver didn't expect them to do. But the offense, to be completely frank, is a concern in Denver, and that was a really good example of it, because if there wasn't an offensive pass interference call on a pick play, Denver loses that game because the Raiders scored on that play. And so the offense is an issue, and I think there's guys in that locker room that are concerned about the way they're playing offensive football right now.
It feels to me like a lot of this centers around Bo Nix, because I'm looking at the offensive line. They've invested a lot of resources into that offensive line. The run game has been good. J.K. Dobbins, R.J. Harvey. I like the pass options that they have. It feels like a lot of this really stems from the fact that Bo Nix had a very, very strong rookie season. It feels like he's regressed this year.
Yeah, I think regression is the word that we oftentimes use. What really is the truth, Gary, and honestly, is like, there's no book on you rookie year. There's no book on how you like to play with your play caller. There's no book on the tendencies you have in the...
Come on. Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
NFL game, and when I talk to teams, it's, you know, there's a book on the guy now, and defenses know his tendencies of what he likes to do. You can't rely on a couple of those things that you really relied on your rookie year because people didn't know that was something that you really loved to do within this offense. So he's having to react back to the way defenses are playing him. I do think there's been somewhat of a regression for sure, and a lot of that happens with the growth of these young quarterbacks. I mean, I'll be honest, like Patrick's been the outlier in all honesty in terms of quarterback growth throughout a player's career, the way he's played in the early seasons of it. And it's this, like, all right, they're going to take this away. You gotta change and pivot to this. The rookie year, we know that you do these five things really, really well. Let's stick with them. Well, guess what? Those five things don't work in year two. We got to make it to 10. And they wanted to expand this offense in year two. They really did. They thought off that first year, all right, we can really expand this for Bo. Well, they put a lot out there and a lot on his plate. And so no quarterback growth is linear by any stretch, but he's not playing the way that they expected him to play in year two, for sure. I mean, the crazy part about it is, and I put this out this week because it just kind of blew my mind, in the first three quarters, there's only one quarterback that has a lower completion percentage than Bo Nix, and it's Cam Ward. I mean, Bo Nix is completing under 60% of his passes in the first three quarters. There's only one quarterback that has fewer yards per attempt than Bo Nix in the first three quarters. That's Dylan Gabriel. I don't think I'm, you know, listing murder a row here of quarterbacks that he's sitting around in these first three quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, they seem to find a little bit of magic. I think he's more comfortable playing up tempo. But with the way Sean Payton runs this offense and the personnel groupings they change in and out, it's hard to play at a faster speed. I think Bo likes to play up tempo, and they do that in the fourth quarter. And maybe they'll start building off that a little bit further. But It has been an interesting season for Bo Nix, but he's still not taking a whole lot of sacks, not a whole lot of negative plays, and I think part of that is he knows he has a good defense that can help him keep himself in game. So the other part I would say real quickly is the Evan Engram addition at the tight end spot they really thought was going to be that joker role that's been valuable for Sean Payton in the past, and it just hasn't gone the way they wanted to just yet. I won't write it off entirely, but Engram getting comfortable in this offense has been a part that's been kind of missing as a probably a key factor that a lot of people thought he'd be second on this team probably in receiving yards behind Cortland Sutton when the season started.
Right now, we're talking to James Palmer of Bleacher Report. Also, be sure to check out the Scoop City podcast. You know the saying, you are what your record says you are. Do you believe that's the case with the Broncos? Because their record would indicate that they're one of the best teams in the National Football League. But through a couple of those games that we mentioned, I mean, they beat the Jets by 2 points. They beat the Giants by 1 point and needed to score 33 points in the final quarter. Houston, 18-15. We talked about Thursday Night Football. Do you think that the record is indicative of this Broncos team is one of the five best teams in the league?
I don't know, because I feel like we can say that about a lot of these teams right now in this season. And I do think you are what your record is. You're right. And it's funny. I had Zach Allen on my show today, and we were kind of talking about winning these one-score games. I mean, they've been outstanding at it this year, and he was like, you know, it's kind of funny. That's what the Chiefs were last year. They just found a way in every one-score game to go out there and come out on top, and it's been kind of flipped. And he's kind of right. And there's just little things that happen in the course of the end of the game that a lot of people say. A handful of plays make up the deciding factor in some of these games. The point is, I would say, they're in all of these games. You could make the argument, adversely to what you said, and I agree with you. I mean, they've beaten two backup quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Four of their wins are against teams that are last place in their division of this. So, of course, there's ways to pick it. You could even say there was a leveraging call at the end of the Colts game, who many people believe the Colts are arguably the best team in the AFC. You can make an argument in some cases for that. They beat the Colts. There was a ridiculous leveraging call on the final field goal that won the Colts the game. And they were an insane play from Justin Herbert on a touchdown to Keenan Allen that was just unbelievable from beating the Chargers. They could be undefeated, Carrington. They literally could. And we'd probably be having the same conversation. So it's been really interesting to watch them play. I think the defense is good enough to keep them in any game. I would say this, as I've talked to people around the league, this is the type of season, if you play good ball defensively, you run the ball well, you don't hurt yourself, you can be kind of a little bit of a sloppy team and advance through the postseason this year. It's just that type of year because the heavy hitters in the AFC are not what we've seen in years past. It's the last 6 years have been dominated by Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson. Well, those teams haven't played the way we've seen them play in years past. And so that opens the door for teams like Denver or Indianapolis to maybe not be perfect, but have the records that they have.
Right now, we're joined by James Palmer of Bleacher Report, getting you ready for Sunday's matchup between the Chiefs and the Broncos. We talked about the offensive side of the ball. Let's switch over to the defensive side for the Denver Broncos. I believe the Broncos have the best defense in the National Football League, but, and it feels like, to the point that you just made, you can make this argument about anybody. I'm looking at the quarterbacks that they've beaten. I'm looking at Cam Ward. I'm looking at Jake Browning, Justin Fields, Jackson Dart, Geno Smith last week. I believe that their defense is elite and has played at a very high level. I got to see them do it against a team like Kansas City that is going to be relatively healthy outside of Isaiah Pacheco.
Did you think Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have a pretty good defense? A pretty good offense?
Certainly. And they did a fantastic job against Dallas a couple weeks ago, no question.
Yeah, for sure. So I do think they have it in them. I mean, I don't think you're 25 sacks above the rest of the NFL. That's just something to scoff at in a sense. They have a really talented defense. They really do. And you can only play the quarterbacks you've played against, certainly. And I think this is an absolutely just another level measuring stick for Denver as a team. I think all eyes are on this to see if they're for real, because all the questions you're asking are very valid for them, honestly. They really are, at the record that they have and the teams that they've played and how they've played some of those teams tight. But I do go look and go, okay, let's just go from the players and the scheme. They're really good. And up front, I don't know if there's a better defensive line. I love Seattle's D-line and LA's D-line, but the way that the get-off is on Nick Benito, I had somebody tell me the other day, they're I don't want to say it, man, but it's borderline a Von Miller quickness first step. It's that fast. And they're starting to become household names. I mentioned Zach Allen and Jonathan Franklin Myers. They made a strength, Carrington, which I thought was interesting, and not a lot of teams do this. In the offseason, you try to fix the issues you have. And at the trade deadline, you try to fix or band-aid the issues you have. They took a strong defense and made two monster free agent acquisitions in Talanoa Hufanga and Dre Greenlaw. They made a strength even stronger. Huff has been outstanding in the middle of this. I think that's a big difference from what they were as a defense a season ago. I think obviously no Sertan is enormous. I mean, I think that's a player of the year. I mean, that's a big difference. But I do think they got better in the middle of the defense, the middle of the field with Dre Greenlaw and Talanoa Hufanga. So, again, I think it's a really, really good defense. It is. And you can only play the teams that you've played. And they've shown out in almost every single game. The offense is the real question. But Patrick is a different animal. Andy Reid coming off a bye is a different animal. And that's why this is an unbelievable test. It really is going to be, is this team for real in Denver? And that's what everybody's curious about come Sunday.
Yeah, and I feel like this is a measuring stick game for both teams. I don't want to paint it sure. Only the Broncos have to answer questions and the Chiefs don't have to answer questions.
Yeah,
the Chiefs have beaten one good team this year. They had a home win against the Detroit Lions when the Lions were super banged up. I've been making this point. I feel like there are two doors for Kansas City. If they win this game, this is the game that they've always won. They have never lost this game with Patrick Mahomes. Important game in the AFC West. They are shooting 100% from the field. If they lose this game, and we're talking about a team that's 5-5 in week 11, we are going to have to look at the Chiefs for the first time as a wild card team, and we have never done that since Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback of the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And I think what's happened is, and I make this comparison often, and I don't know if people in Kansas City like it, comparison to the Patriots of their heyday, or dislike it. I mean, they're both the two dynasties we've seen. They're the two most dominant quarterbacks we've seen in recent memory. And so I understand a lot of the parallels, but like, there's been these years where New England used to be able to feel themselves out in the first month of the season and go, all right, what are we this year? Obviously our roster changed. What can we be? The constant is obviously Brady, and how do we change and adapt, and we can turn it on. And Kansas City has had that luxury as well, as they've had slow starts with defenses in years past, and they've been historically bad as a defense through the first months of the season years past and still gone on and won Super Bowls, and they've had the luxury of doing that. The comparison I make between the two, Carrington, is like, look at the division of the AFC East that the Patriots were dealing with during all this. Relatively weak. And most of the time, the Chiefs have been able to deal with this with a relatively weak AFC West. They really have. And this year, you're seeing it in the start that the Chargers had and the way the Broncos are playing. And it's a little tougher to climb out of a hole if the rest of your division is better. And that's where I think things have shifted for Kansas City. Not that they've gotten essentially worse, it's just the rest of the division has gotten a lot better. So, like, if you take a look at where they're at, I think their chances of getting the number one seed if they lose this game are at 1%, literally 1%, and their chances of missing the playoffs go to 39%. If they win this game, their chances of missing the playoffs drop to 16%, and their chances of the one seed go up to, like, 7%. So, like, this is, I think you're right, a massive measuring stick for where the Chiefs are because of the spot they put themselves in. The point I would make between these two teams that I think is maybe being overlooked a little bit is I believe the Chiefs go to one of the, I think, the 20th easiest schedule the rest of the way out, after having one of them maybe like the fifth toughest in the first stretch. So I think they flip and Denver goes from the fifth easiest to the toughest for the remaining portion. So I think this is kind of a crux in the road for both teams.
I thought you made a really good point earlier and an observation that I've had as well. It feels like those three teams that you mentioned, whether it's Denver, Indianapolis, or New England, like they are sort of threatening the AFC way of life. The AFC has not changed over the last three, four seasons. It's been Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. Well, now you got these new kids and these new teams that want to crash the party, and we've always known that someone's going to try to catch up to Kansas City. This is just the newest team that the Chiefs have to try to stay in front of.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, two of the three have come completely out of nowhere, right? I mean, obviously Indianapolis and New England, and New England won four games a season ago, and they are definitely benefiting from where they finished a season ago with the schedule that they're playing, certainly. But you can't argue that they're playing really, really, really good football, and I think Vrabel might be the coach of the year. And Indianapolis was just, you kind of forget they won eight games last year, actually, without a quarterback. And so you get a decent signal caller, and, you know, you put yourself together a little bit better. I think people did expect, and I think Sean Payton's the one who kind of led this charge of make sure you keep your eye on Denver, you know, in year two with Bo Nix and the way this defense is and the way they've invested in their offensive line. And, you know, here we kind of come, and they were a blocked field goal away from beating the Chiefs last season, which a lot of people thought they should have. But again, you still got to win the game. And so there is a little bit of a shifting of the guard, but at the same time, I would say, like, the Ravens had one of the best rosters in football at the start of this year. They were just destroyed by injuries for a lengthy stretch, including their quarterback, which just derails their entire season. And I think they're still the front runner to probably win that division now. The Bills are a fascinating one. And the buzz around the league with Buffalo is this, like, did they knock on the door to the Super Bowl so many years in a row that now there's a little bit of an exhaustion with it, right? Like, we've been right there over and over again, and we can't get over the hump. And then this year you kind of see it to where they've been uneven week to week. They had a great defensive plan against Kansas City, and then the next week they lay an egg, you know, against Miami. And so, you know, I think that every team in the AFC is flawed to some capacity this year, and I think that's why we're having a hard time figuring out who's at the top. And you know, and I think you could really pick a major hole in every one of these teams, and I think that's why these games coming up this weekend across the NFL are so huge. Like, you have questions on every team, but like, okay, Rams, Seahawks, now we're really going to find out. Lions, Eagles, now we're really going to find out. Bills, Bucks, now we're really going to find out. Chiefs, Broncos, now we're really going to find out. I think everybody's waiting to find out, guaranteed, but nobody's playing good enough football to separate themselves legitimately and eliminate some of those questions.
This doesn't come off as shade, but it might be a little bit of shade. You know, we're so used to big games here in Kansas City. They play in so many. Eagles in the second week of the season, Lions for Sunday night football, Bills games. The Chiefs always play in these kind of games. Man, it feels like this is the biggest game that Denver has had at home in a very, very long time, that we talk about that measuring stick and kind of letting the NFL know that you are here. I don't think you can undersell what a Broncos win would mean for this team, for this conference, if they're able to knock off the Chiefs.
It'd be massive. It would be. And you're exactly right. I mean, I've covered all those big games in Kansas City. There's a reason I'm getting sent there. It's like, this is the team. These are the matchups. These are the games. And this is a what league? A quarterback-driven league. There has not been a quarterback in Denver since Peyton Manning retired in 2015. There just hasn't been. I mean, it's just been an embarrassing revolving door of you know, drafting guys in the first round. Paxton Lynch might be the biggest whiff of a quarterback in the first round in recent memory. You try to bring in Case Keenum or Joe Flacco or Trevor Siemian, you and I were joking around about, like Russell Wilson, one of the bigger trades that have flopped. They've tried to fix this thing, but they haven't been relevant because they haven't had quarterback play. You know, those Vic Fangio years, go back and ask Patrick Mahomes how fun it was going against Vic Fangio's defenses in those years. He hated it. It was awful. He still won all the games because they didn't have a quarterback. But this team has just been sitting there, you know, as one of the marquee franchises of the NFL, in my opinion. I mean, they own a region of the country in the Denver Broncos, and they just have not been relevant. They used to hang their hat on a saying that was incredible. They had more Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons as a franchise before they went through this drought. I mean, that's an amazing stat. And now they do feel like they're back in relevancy. They do feel like they have a quarterback. I think that's still to be determined, in all honesty, a year and a half into Bo Nix's career, whether he is the guy. But they do essentially have hope for the first time. And I think that's why you're right when you say that this team actually has an opportunity to beat Kansas City at home and move to 9-2 and really prove to themselves they're back part of, you know, the elite teams in the NFL. When you play a team like Kansas City, that is the measuring stick that all these teams have. It's why everybody, you know, everybody gives their best shot to Kansas City. It's why that game with the Bills was essentially like, you know, people call it the Bills Super Bowl. I'm not sure if that's the case, but you get the drift of it. That's the way everybody feels, and that's where Kansas City has put themselves by their play over the last several seasons, obviously, as being the best team in football. And Denver's just trying to get back to that. And I think this is really their first real legitimate opportunity to do it.
James, I feel like we're going to bother you next week, because as big as this game is, if the Chiefs win this game, they got an even bigger game next week at home against the Colts.
Yeah, they got Indy. It should be fun to break down Indy. It's one of my favorite offenses to watch, honestly. The balance, the ability that Indianapolis has to do the run and the pass. And Tyler Warren has just been a linchpin for that group, and especially with obviously the way Jonathan Taylor's playing. It's been really fun to watch Indy play offense. And I think with some time now, it's going to be fun to see what Lou Anarumo going back against Patrick Mahomes. Oh, man, I'm getting excited now for next week. Hit me up next week when we can talk about Colts Chiefs, because, man, another Lou Anarumo, Patrick Mahomes game. Sign me up for it.
That is James Palmer joining us on the show. James, we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good, Kennedy.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late.
Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.